Yes, and your life counts. Hello, and welcome to the Sudden Eye Impact Show. I'm your host, Lee, coming from the DFW Metroplex. On the show, we discuss a variety of topics, such as, but not limited to, responsibility, accountability, goal setting, vision, the power of words, the power of thoughts, belief systems, and support systems, to name a few. Hello and welcome, everyone. Hope everybody's having a bright day. The show's mission and purpose and intention is to discuss simple, basic, fundamental ways to help everyday people experience more fulfillment, satisfaction, enrichment, enjoyment, health, and overall peace through utilizing your own latent resources that lie dormant within you. The show is spiritual, purely inspirational and motivational, expressing powerful content that anyone can take and apply to any area of their life to change their life for the better and keep working to change their life for the best. Starting the show off, we want to talk about the pandemic, just to mention that. I want everybody to be mindful. I want everybody to follow their leadership and strictly adhere to the mandates that they've put in place. Don't be selfish. Take care of yourself. Consider other ones, especially the babies, the infants, and the senior citizens. So do the right thing. We have an astonishing show lined up for you today. I'd like to welcome in my guest, Mr. Jaron Enlightenment Banks. Glad you could join us. Today is going to be an amazing show. Everyone that's blessed to hear this show will be left with a great picture impressed upon their mind. With that being said, we're going beyond the quantum. It's truly unlimited. Spirituality speaks of this. Physics speaks of this. Mathematics speaks of this. The higher natural laws validates this. We're going to the next level, then the next dimension. Then we're skipping to the fourth dimension. We're going to a new epicenter, a new planet, a new galaxy, and a whole nother stratosphere. Dream Power Academy. I thought I told you. Dream Power Academy. I thought I told you. Dream Power Academy. I thought I told you. Please get your mind right. I thought I told you. Please get your mind right. I thought I told you. Please get your mind right. I thought I told you. With that being said, we're going to pass the mic over to Jaron, the Enlightenment Banks.
Thank you, Dwight. I appreciate that introduction. And again, we all are going through a very different scenario for some of us. And I wanted to really today hone in on a few areas that are very important. And you heard Dwight singing there a little bit, Dream Power Academy. Puts a smile on my face. That's the name of my company. And if you'd like to hear more about that, you can reach out to www.dreampoweracademy.com. Definitely give you some more insight in some of the work that we're doing with individuals and groups. But just wanted to really talk about that concept of our dreams and our power. And then academy, right, the ability to come into a learning or a place where you can apply, learn knowledge and apply knowledge in life. So you can become your own Dream Power Academy. And right now, during this time, I want to focus on that word time. This is something that I hear a lot from clients. I've said it myself. I'm sure we run into this every day where you'll have things that you want to accomplish during the day, and then you get to the end of the day and you're like, oh man, I ran out of time. I didn't have enough time. I'll talk to individuals and I'll say, hey, what is it that you really desire to do in your life? What is your dream? I talked to an individual a couple weeks ago and she said, well, I love to dance. I've been a professional dancer for years, and she goes, I haven't been dancing enough. I want to get back into dancing classes. I said, well, why don't you go to a dance class? She says, well, I don't have enough time. And so I asked her another question. Well, where are you investing your time? Now, that's the first step, is you have to take account of what you're actually doing. This is going to apply all the way down to money and some other things, right? And I like to talk about this because many people who are having problems with finances, usually I can come back to they are not valuing their time, and they're not aware of where they're actually investing their time. Now, many people will say spend, but you notice how I keep saying invest, because an investment is something you put in there expecting a return. When you spend something, you're not expecting a return. So we can use that language again. I know Dwight and I've talked about language on several other episodes. How you invest your time is very important. And this same individual who I was talking to go back to the dance class scenario, she says, "Well, I'm working too much." She's a manager of a store. She has several people who report to her. She says, "Well, I'm working too much. I don't, you know, I have to make sure that they're doing their jobs. I have to take care of them." So in this situation, she's created a story that she has to be there for her people all the time. And so I asked her another question: Do you have to be there from 8 to 8 every day, or 8 to 10, which is the hour she was putting in? She goes, "Well, no, I just have to make sure things get done right." I said, "Well, couldn't you train your people to do the things in the right way so you don't have to be there?" You know. And then she looked at me and kind of, she goes, "Well, yeah, that's a good idea." And then I gave her another a piece of advice. Many of us believe if we remove something from our life, we'll now have more time. So I hear this all the time. "Well, if I could just get out of this job, I'll have more time. Or if I could stop doing these things, I'd have more time." And then they say, "Well, then I'll be able to work on my dream." So I always ask them the question: "Are you working on your dream today, or did you work on it yesterday?" And they'll say, "Well, no." I say, "What about for 5 minutes or even a minute? Did you work on it?" "No." I said, "Well, that's a habit. And you're in a habit of deferring your dream and working on something else. And that will keep going on even when you free up your time." And so the reason I'm bringing this up now very powerfully is because we're in a time period where many of us have had to slow down from our normal operations. So we're either at home, you know, they're telling people to shelter in at home, or we're doing a lot less movement out in the world right now. Some people have a lot more free time available to them. This could be in many different ways. Some people are not actually working because their job or their business is actually closed right now. That's not necessarily a positive aspect, but it is an opportunity. Some people are not working as many hours. Other people are working from home in a new format. Myself, I'm actually busier. I work from home 100%. I've built my business and my lifestyle where I work 100% remote. So I'm actually busier. So there's actually people who are doing more right now. But this is a time where you can actually look at your life and get some of those things done that you keep putting off, right? It could be simply cleaning out that closet, or organizing the garage, or organizing things in your home, working on certain projects with your kids or your family that you've always wanted to do or you keep saying you're going to get to, right? Maybe you have a job and you want a better job. Working on that resume, doing some research on a new company. Maybe you're a business owner, and now you're having to get creative and figure out a new way to operate. I've talked to several personal trainers. They can't train their people personally. They're doing it online now. They've just shifted their business, and now they're doing videos online with their people, and they're actually thinking of new ways to operate. So this is a time period to really go in within yourself and take your time and start to apply it in a way that can help you actually level up during this at-home or pandemic time that Dwight mentioned. And this is what happens with many people who have been really wealthy over history. If you read their stories, during these time periods, people leveled up. They invested more into themselves. They invested more into business. They got creative and figured out new ways to operate. We are going to see new ways that businesses and people are going to operate after this pandemic has passed on. Many people are saying things are going to go back to normal. For those of us who are operating, as Dwight said, in the fourth dimension, or in the spiritual realms, things are not going to go back. necessarily to normal, because things are transforming right now underneath our eyes. And one of the ways that you can take control and really make a big impact for yourself, your family, and your financial future, your health, and spiritual future is to start to take control of your time. So I really wanted to bring that point to bear here, because we have a little bit of a slowdown right now. You have the ability to do some things, whether it's even spending time with your family, reading books. Take the time to really get these things done now and create new habits, so when the speed does come back, you come back stronger, more efficient, you have your direction, and you become your own Dream Power Academy. You have your dream, you apply your power, and you create your own system or academy of how to create, of how to find that dream or manifest that dream. So that's my beginning today. Thank you for listening. Stay positive out there. Move towards faith in your life. Walk in faith. Think about what you'd like to create. And let's all support each other, as Dwight said. Support. Think of how you can help people. Think of people who may be looking for help or need positive words, or people in your community who can receive some help. Of course, you have to apply your social distancing, but we can get creative and figure out ways that we can help each other. That could be phone calls online, shipping something to someone, dropping something off at someone's door. So get creative, operate in love and faith, and let's keep moving forward. Thank you.
The L. And the O. To the V, the V, the V, the V, and the E, the E, the E. We're sending love to everyone. There is hope. We're going to shine a light, even though it may seem like it's a dark time. I got some startling statistics for everybody. Billions of people are hungry for success knowledge, success perspective, success personality, success experience. And they desire stories of overcoming adversity, hardships, and setbacks. Listen to this. There are 4.02 billion internet users. The concentration is 53%. So there's a 47% potential client base. Social media users. There's 3.196 billion social media users with a concentration of 42%. Over 1.8 billion potential clients out there for anybody. There is 5.13 billion unique mobile users with a 68% concentration, leaving about 1.64 billion potential clients for anybody. There are 2.95 billion active mobile social media users with a concentration of 39%, leaving about 1.15 billion potential clients. Came up through the struggle, not too many get to tell. Got up and shook it off every time we ever fail. Why do we fall? So we can learn to pick ourselves back up. Everything Dream Power Academy does is lit. We're spreading light. Everything Dream Power Academy does is lit. We're shining the light. Everything Dream Power Academy does is lit. We are sharing the light. Everything Dream Power Academy does is lit. We are shining the light. I am energy. 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 I am money. 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 I am prosperity. 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 We're going to a place in relaxation, a place in incubation, a place in consideration, a place in organization, a place in meditation, a place in recognition, a place in participation, a place in concentration, a place in illustration, a place in deliberation, a place in realization, a place in propitiation, a place in enunciation, a place in dramatization, a place in reconciliation, a place in maximization, a place in expectation, a place in actualization, a place in revelation, a place in demonstration, a place in manifestation, and a place in appropriation. With that being said, I'd like to pass the mic back to Jaron, the Enlightenment Banks.
Okay, Jaron Banks here. So I'm going to focus on another, I'm actually going to focus on two words, and these are really important. Again, we like to talk about things that can help you for your future, but also activities and thoughts, mental attitudes, emotions, feelings, and actual tactical things you can do day to day. And we're dealing with a very unique situation in our lives. First time that I've experienced anything like this in my life. And so I wanted to focus on two words that I'm sure the first word that I mentioned is brewing very powerfully throughout our world, and that's fear. The second word that I want to talk about is the opposite of that word, or on the same trajectory, and that's faith. So we'll see here very easily that both words start with the letter F. Both of the words actually relate to the exact same thing, except they have a different motion in the way that they operate. So fear is based on things unseen, but then a person chooses to either not move or go into hiding, or what I would like to say, they react. They operate in a way based off something from the outside, which causes them fear, and then they choose to then go do something based off of that. I mean, you're seeing some people do this in the grocery stores. You're seeing some people operate in a way that they're moving around the cities now, or the way that they're reacting with other people. Faith is a little different. Faith, again, is based off things unseen, but you're moving forward. So a common example of faith would be, I keep hearing about this pandemic or these different things that are going on, but I have a goal or a dream that I want to achieve, and this is an opportunity for me to invest in myself, or for me to continue going forward with my business idea, or continue looking to go to school or get my realtor's license or do certain things, right? And even though the outside environment could trigger a person to slow down and say, well, man, maybe I should wait, the person operates in faith and says, you know what, I'm still going to go forward and do the thing that I know I really wanted to do, because that's That's what my goal was anyway, right? So they're operating from the inside out. They're responding. And this is something that's important for us to pay attention to. So if you look at these words, I'm going to put those together. So I just actually added two other words. So if you look at fear, a lot of times people will react out of fear. And this can cause a lot of things to happen. Sometimes people react violently, they get angry, they attack people, they steal things, they go into hiding, they do things they really didn't want to do, they settle, right? You have fear that you're not going to be able to do something, so you end up doing something that you really didn't want to. Like you take a job you really didn't want to take, but you had fear that you may not have enough money, so you took this job. Or you had fear that you didn't have the skills for the job that you really wanted, so you settled for one that you really didn't want, right? Those go together. Now, if you look at faith, I'm going to repeat these again to give you a deeper understanding. Faith, responding. So a person that responds, they may feel fear. They may be scared. But they sit back and they think about it and they process it, and then they choose a response. Right? So a person may say, hey, I've heard that we may not have enough food or enough items during this pandemic. You know what? That may be the case, but I'm still going to operate based on love, as we talked about earlier, L-O-V-E. I'm still going to go out and smile. I'm still going to be positive, and I'm going to go to the grocery store. I'm going to find what I can, and I know there'll be something there for me that I can get for my family, or I know I'll find a way to be taken care of. I've made it this far in my life. I know I'll be taken care of through this situation. That's faith, and that's responding. And so it's important for us to really stay in that realm of faith. This is something that many people, when times are good, you know, people are going to church, they're doing their spiritual studies, they're reading books, they're talking about all these things. It's really easy to talk about those things when things are going really well. And then when a situation like this comes up, you'll start to see the truth come out in a lot of people. You'll clearly see, are they operating on fear or are they operating in faith? And we all can go, we can traverse those trajectories. So what I'd like to give is, anytime you feel fear, just know that the flip side of that is faith. You can always turn that around to faith. You can always say, hey, it's okay that I'm scared. I feel a little unsettled right now. I don't know what's going to happen these next couple of weeks. I'm not sure what I'm going to do. But I have faith that I'll be okay, that I'll be supported. I'm still loved, that my family will be okay, that I'm healthy. If I am sick, I'll recover. I'll be able to do and handle any situation in my life. And again, this comes back to the language that we talked about before, but I'm also touching on the emotions or the feelings that are very strong for many of us right now. And this is something that we can pass on to others. I talked to a friend yesterday on the phone, and he said, if you have 100 people standing in fear, let's say in a grocery store, one person walks in who's strong in faith can transform all of those 100 people. That's the power of faith. That's the power of love. That's the power when someone comes in who's rooted and grounded in their faith and love and compassion for other people and generosity and abundance, and is actually thinking about other people. And that's a great way also during these next couple weeks, if you do get into a point where you start to feel anxious or concerned, you can just clearly just stop thinking about yourself and think about, who can I help? That's a great way to relax yourself. Take that energy and see who you can help. Give somebody a phone call. Call a family member. Reach out to someone. As Dwight mentioned, we have a lot of ways to connect to people in this day and time, right? In this age, the internet, cell phones, email, which email even seems like an ancient way. You can still go back to the old school and write a letter to someone, which would be really great. So take these to heart and really not only think about these, but use these, and remember that you can turn your fear into faith in any situation. You can stand up. You can have courage. and you can do the things that will help yourself and help our communities. And these are the things that are going to help us become stronger and come together as we move through this and go forward. So I thank you again for taking the time to listen to my short segment on faith, and take that forward in your day-to-day operations. And again, sending love and light to all out there. And I'll take this back to Dwight Lee. Thank you.
Thank you, Jay Banks. Appreciate that. Okay. You're hearing two multimillionaires in the flesh. May not have it now, but people have begun to write checks. I am going in. I am going in. I am going in. I don't want for nothing. I'm living a million-dollar dream. I don't want for nothing. I'm living a million-dollar dream. I don't want for nothing. I'm living a million-dollar dream. Now I'm going to get to the body of what I wanted to talk about today. The title is Economic Empowerment, subtitle, and I'm being cautious with these words so it might sound a little crazy because I'm real cognizant of what I do with AM and I. So the subtitle is, do I supposed to be broke? Do I supposed to be poor? Do I supposed to live in poverty? And when I present this body of work, you have a choice whether you're going to choose to have money or you're going to choose not to have money. Right off the bat, I would like to read out each word has two definitions, and I believe that this will help the audience out. And this is courtesy of Oxford. The first word is consciousness. And the first definition is the fact of awareness by the mind of itself and the world. The second definition is the awareness or perception of something by a person. The next word is awareness. And the first definition is knowledge or perception of a situation or fact. Second definition, concerned about and well-informed interest in a particular subject or situation. The next word is belief. And the first definition is acceptance that a statement is true or that something exists. The second definition is trust, faith, or confidence in someone or something. The next word is thought. And the first definition is an idea or opinion produced by thinking or occurring suddenly in the mind. The second definition for thought is the action or process of thinking. And the last and final word is expectation. And the first definition is a strong belief that something will happen or be the case in the future. And the second definition is a belief that someone will or should achieve something. So let's go back to the subtitle. Am I supposed to be broke? Or do I supposed to be poor? Or do I supposed to live in poverty? Okay. So two stumbling blocks that I found, and I don't have them in front of me, is from the Bible, Matthew 19:24 and 1 Timothy 6:10. I believe 1 Timothy 6:10 says that money is the root to all evil, but that's not what it says. That's what most people interpret it to say. So with that being said, I want to take a look at Luke 4:18, and part A says, and it's written in red, so it's the master or the metaphysician speaking, and it says that he's anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. So gospel means good news. So if you was poor, what would be good news to you? Good news to you would be that you're about to get some money, or some channels have been opened up for you to receive your needs or desires met, or some resources have been open up to you. So do I supposed to be broke? Do I supposed to be poor? Do I supposed to live in poverty? So it looks like the metaphysician came right in, and the first thing that he dealt with was lack. So the first thing that he attacked was lack. So if the master comes in and he starts out by immediately attacking lack, I want to ask the audience a question. If you needed beans, rice, eggs, and bread for your 4 or 5 year old child, what would be evil and what would be good? I don't see a way that you could equate being able to buy that merchandise or having the money to buy that merchandise. I don't understand how you could associate that with evil. What would be evil is for your baby to need that food and not be able to provide it. So I think we've gotten mixed up. We've gotten it confused. And are we really thinking? Dr. McFarland said 2% of people actually think, 3% of people think that they think, and 95% of people would rather die than think. So let's get back to this scenario, because I'm going to use a lot of comparison and contrasting today. I'm going to use a lot of attraction and repulsion today. So with that being said, it's not possible for it to be evil for you to be able to provide something that a child needs, because the child cannot fend for themselves. So with that being said, money is not the root of all evil. Lack of money would be in that category, if that makes sense. So what I'm saying is, in this scenario, the thing that would be evil is not being able to provide that food, those four items, for the child, which causes you probably between $8 to $12. So you have to really take a look in the mirror and get clarity and come out of confusion. And this is the perfect time to do it, because everybody's being forced to stay home. Some people will never even be able to return to their jobs. So this is the opportunity, like Jay Banks said, for you to have an aha moment and look yourself in the mirror and see if you have been thinking or if you have been running around on autopilot. Because this is a simple scenario that I think even a five-year-old can determine what's good and what's bad, or what's good and what's evil. So you need to look yourself, looking into your soul, like get up close to the mirror and really look at yourself and look at your whole situation, because now you have the time, as Jay Banks talked about. You have a lot of free time on your hand. If you're not in an essential field like grocery stores, pharmacy, or medical field, even if you're working remote from home, you still have a lot of free time to really evaluate your situation and reevaluate your situation and come up with a plan of action. Because if you don't like where you are right now, you have an opportunity to figure out some solutions. And the first thing that you need to do is get clarity within yourself and within your mind. And come back to the five pillars that I always deal with: beliefs, thoughts, words, expectations, and action. With all this time on your hand, you need to see where you are. We know the law of sowing and reaping, or everybody's moving, or cause and effect. You know that you can't stay in the same place. And basically, you are a sum total of your beliefs, your thoughts, your words, and your actions. So if you don't like your current situation, you're going to have to believe something different. You're going to have to think something different. You're going to have to speak something different. you're going to have to see something different. And if you don't see it before you see it, you will never see it, if that makes sense. If you don't see it before you see it, you will never see it. I'm going to put a quote out there, and some people are going to say, man, this guy is crazy. But just listen to it and just really go back through it. You are not what you think you are, but what you think you are. You are not what you think you are, but what you think you are. You are not what you think you are, but what you think you are. I already can see it. Somebody said, he just said the same thing. No, I did not. I said, you are not what you think you are. And then the second part means, but what you habitually think, what you habitually speak, what you habitually do, you are. There's a big difference. Sounds like it's the same, but it's not quite the same. Going back to, do I supposed to be poor? Do I supposed to be broke? Do I supposed to live in poverty? Going back to the example about the eggs, the milk, the rice, and the bread. Which one's evil? Or which one's bad? Or which one's good? Or is it all the same? You need to get clarity within yourself and be able to determine, be able to select, be able to choose, be able to make a decision on what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is bad. The ability is within you. I believe even a child knows that being able to provide the food will be good, and being not able to provide the food will be bad. Okay. Coming back out, I was able to find the verses that I was looking for, and I want to be upfront. It does not matter what your belief is or what your faith is. I mean, I'm sure you can go into the Quran and find similar stories that relate. And then there's, I might not do it justice, but the Bhagavad Gita, the Torah, just whatever your faith is, I'm certain that you can go in there and find stories about resources similar to what I'm explaining and talking about, discussing. So two potholes in the Christian community, these verses, Matthew 19:24, and again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And then 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through them with many sorrows. Now, I'm told by good authority, you have to look at the verse and see what it means for you. But it's not literally talking about a needle that you sew with, you know, that has that little hole at the top. It wouldn't be possible. So what they're talking about is kind of like in concentration camps or in war, where they have the little door that flacks back and forth that you crawl and go through. But that's really irrelevant. If you take that verse literally, in a time like this, you won't make it. You won't survive. So with that being said, it is my observation that you are not supposed to be broke, and you're not supposed to be poor, and you're not supposed to live in poverty. I mean, that would be pointless when you have all this gifting inside of you. The same resources that anybody else has, you have those exact same resources. The question becomes, have you developed them? Have you developed your gifts? Have you identified your talents? Have you figured out what's natural for you and what you're good at? And that's what all this time away from work and being forced to stay shut in is about. It's about why you can't do without. You go within and you do within. You work on yourself. I'm told by Jay Banks and many other people that if you worked on yourself like you worked on your job, there would be a miraculous shift. you wouldn't even be able to probably remember yourself. But not many are willing to make that sacrifice and put in the mental work, the physical work, the spiritual work, and then just keep working at it. So with that being said, I'm going to go to the parable about the talents. I won't read the entire thing, but a summary of it is that there was one person that was given 5 talents, and there was another person that was given 2 talents, and there was another person that was given 1 talent. And basically, the person that had the 5 talents and that had the 2 talents, they went and did their due diligence. They did what was wise. They did what was fruitful. And they used their common sense. And they went and gained more. The person with the 5 talents turned it into 10. The person with the 2 talents, they turned it into 4. But the person with the 1 talent went and buried the talent. He just wanted to give it back, be able to give it back to his master. And oftentimes in today's times, that's what a lot of us do. We're hiding our talents and we're just going to a job to just make ends meet or try to get by, try to provide shelter for ourselves or our significant other or a child or multiple children for our family. And the reason that we struggle in that situation is because we were all put here to barter our gifts and talents and to love one another, to share. And when we do that, there's a scripture that says that one can put 1,000 to flight, 2 can put 10,000. So multiplication is when you go outside of yourself and you network and you meet people and you find like-minded people, because thoughts are like magnets. Whatever thoughts you're having, they attract similar thoughts and similar thoughts and similar thoughts, and it's multiplying. So the people that's on the positive end of that, they're advancing, they're prospering, they're flourishing. But the opposite of that is true, and Jay Banks talks about it a lot. It's called the law of polarity. It's a natural law. It's a higher law, and it can't be violated. Even if you look at your battery underneath your hood, it has a plus and it has a minus. Everything is positive or negative. There is no in-between. So the people that are on the negative spectrum of that, they're attracting negative thoughts or thoughts of lack, thoughts of insufficiency, thoughts of not enough. I mean, they're shrinking the money before they even get their paycheck. And they just see they're using their imagination the wrong way. They're shrinking things instead of adding to it or multiplying it, you know. They're subtracting and they're dividing, you know, so they're basically fainting in their head, because that's the first place where you cave in and quit. It's in your mind. So during these times, you're going to have to build your mind up, not decrease it more. Yeah, I know it's dark outside. It's dark. But inside of you, there's a light. You got to tap into that light. You need to turn that light bulb on. There's witty inventions inside of you. There's creativity inside of you. There's unlimited energy inside of you. I mean, no one can tell you what you can do. You know, you just need to figure out what you like to do. You know, put some stuff on paper. Here's some things that you can do. You can start list making. Start believing for parking spaces. Start believing for lunches. Start believing for dinners. Start believing to meet people that have resources or people that can mentor you, that you can emulate, that you can imitate, you know what I mean? That you can observe and see how their mode of operation is. I mean, you're not going to be able to do anything just by yourself. And I've realized this. And it's a very, very important thing. You're going to have to network. It's coming to the point now with a time like this, depending on how long it lasts, where you're going to even have to know somebody. You're going to have a connection, probably to hold a traditional job. It's getting to that point. So you don't want to be out there in harm's way where you feel hopeless and doubtless and in fear. And fear is the most prevalent emotion that is attached to lack, insufficiency, and scarcity, and being broke and being poor. I also want to make a distinguish between being broke, poor, and poverty. See, being broke is temporary. It means, like, you currently don't have cash on hand, but it is possible for you to get cash on hand. And we kind of talked about that on the last show, about the 3x5 card, a person going within themselves, telling themselves that they can get a job or that they can get money or they can get an apartment, so on and so forth. It's very, very important that you understand that. Now, poor is a mental condition, and that goes into one of Jay Banks' expertise. It goes into conditioning and your paradigms, like what's being passed down to you. You running on autopilot, and you're not choosing anything different. And I heard from a young kid, had asked him a question, and it was pretty amazing. I think he was like 14 or 15 years old. The question was something about belief. I don't remember exactly how it went, but he said, exactly, the definition of insanity is doing the same exact thing but expecting a better result. When he said that, I was floored. I was like, man, if a 14 or 15-year-old can get it, anybody can get it. So everybody out there, use this time wisely to invest in yourself, to go within yourself, to really zone in on what's going on with you. You know, do you have a goal? Do you have a financial goal? Because if you don't have a financial goal right now, you're in trouble until you write one down. And you should have three numbers written down. You know, the number that it costs to run your household right now, a dollar amount that you would enjoy having in your savings account or checking account so you have some type of security. And I kind of stay away from that word security. There's really no security. And then a number that it's going to take you to retire on, especially if you have kids. Don't just leave them in a pile of debt. This will probably continue on the next episode because I didn't get to do everything that I wanted to do. But I do want to leave with a few things. As we get ready to bring the show to a close, didn't realize the hour's gone by that fast, I recommend everybody to be the change you want to see. Be an agent of change. Be an ambassador of change. First you will change you, then your world and everything in it will change. All my intelligence, in-depth knowledge, and intuition is really shining. They ask me if it's real. I say really real. I say really real. All my experience, perception, and reason is really shining. They ask me if it's real. I say really real. I say really real. All my rhetoric, sagacity, and wisdom is really shining. They ask me if it's real. I say really real. I am a diamond coach because I have been coaching. They want me to apologize, but I'm so far from sorry. They ask me if it's real. I say really real. I say really real. I look like a coach because I have been really coaching. They ask me, am I the GOAT? I say, really real. I say, really real. What do you do when you are better than your idol? You have to AI them for your survival. You can thank me now. Picture perfect. I paint a perfect picture. This, that shot, free throw line extended, right elbow, over Elo. This that shot on the left wing at an angle, just inside the three-point line, over Russell for the win, game one. This that shot where he changes hands in midair. Everybody felt he would dunk it, and he laid it up. This that shrugging of the shoulders, opening the hands, smiling while running down the court, understanding there is no heat check. This that spin back to the corner, then reverse spin again down the baseline for a hyper dunk with pandemonium over a set of footer in the garden. This that crossover at the free throw line, extended area, that created space, releasing the shot, hand in the cookie jar over Russell. Game over. Thank y'all, and have a blessed week.